vibrates at a very rarefied frequency, also travels with the causal bodies of others across space and time in a kind of cosmic relationship dance. Such fractal lines of evolution have always been understood through the ancient laws of karma. However, when seen from a higher dimension, there is only one single consciousness that underlies all creation, and it cannot be divided. Therefore, those causal bodies that travel together across the eons, your close friends, your family, your husbands, wives, lovers, and even your enemies, are all really aspects of a single body that keeps dividing in order to play out a wonderful evolutionary story. When seen from this higher dimension, the notion of an individual soul that survives death and travels onwards is a simplification of how consciousness uses fractal lines to incarnate. Only consciousness itself survives death, but the ancestral memory is stored in the blood and transferred through DNA down the fractal bloodlines. When certain people recall their past lives, they are really reading their fractal lineage and identifying with a single archetypal aspect of that fractal. Certain people have been able to recall incredible details about past lives, but again, this is an aspect of the 44th gift whose whole purpose is to recall those people who resonate with its fractal line. The information of your entire fractal lineage can actually be traced all the way back to the source of all fractals, but this takes an extremely clear vehicle resonating at the level of Siddhic consciousness. The gift of teamwork is therefore about recognizing who belongs in your life. When you meet someone for the first time and they seem familiar to you, it is because their vehicle belongs on your fractal line. Within the greater body, your cells have business together. Taking this further, if you were able to assemble your own true fractal around you, then the dynamics of this team would be nothing short of awesome. There would be total trust within the group, or total love within the family. The world has not yet seen much of the archetype of the 44th gift. People with this gift have a knack for group mechanics and a gift for knowing people, but they still have to work with the destructive interference patterns of the totality. However, as we shall see with the 44th Siddhi, all that is on the cusp of changing. The 44th Siddhi, Sinaki, the coming of the queendom. The 44th Siddhi is truly remarkable. It concerns the complete understanding of the mechanics of human destiny and the entire story of humanity. The programming partner of this Siddhi is the 24th Siddhi of silence, which is a key to understanding how this all works. As a concept, Sinaki is the opposite of anarchy. The prefix sin means to act in concert, and archi means to govern. Therefore, the literal meaning concerns the concept of collective rulership. Historically, the notion of sinaki has been greatly abused politically. Communism claimed to be synarchic, as did Hitler's fascist regime. We begin to move a little closer to its true implications through its use within various occult schools of thought. Synarchy was seen by various occult writers as representing a world led by a secret society of masters. This 44th gene key, together with the 50th gene key, formed the genetic codon ring called the Ring of the Illuminati, and given that the 50th Siddhi activates the quality of higher harmony, we can see how deeply woven into human mythology this archetype truly is. The myth of secret societies has been much in and out of vogue in the last 100 years. With the rise of the New Age movement, it is currently much back in vogue, with numerous books postulating the existence of the hidden Illuminati who are said to meet in secret and manipulate world events. Such conspiracy theories may have their roots in esoteric tradition, which speaks of a hidden center of the world, variously known as Shambhala, Mount Meru, or Agartha, and from which a secret circle of ascended masters or celestial beings govern the world from a higher plane. All such myths and stories have their place, but are essentially innocent distortions of the 44th city of Sinaki. True Sinaki requires an understanding of human fractals in order to fully comprehend its vast vision. Perhaps the best place to begin an exploration of the concept of Sinaki is the insect kingdom. There are two groups of insects that are known for their synarchic systems of government, ants and bees. Of these, bees are perhaps the better example. Many of the old esoteric traditions speak of a great being, the king of the world, sometimes also known as Melchizedek or Sanat Kumara, who sits at the center of all creation and governs all life in our planetary system. This is akin to the power of the queen bee in a synarchy of bees. In a hive, all bees serve the queen, and their synarchy is divided into different levels of workers and drones. Within the hive, a single spirit appears to pervade the whole society, and the queen, symbolically and chemically, maintains the focus and direction of every single member. If the queen dies, the hive falls into chaos and also dies. When the 44th city is present in a human being, then they see the entire tapestry of human interaction through time and space. They not only see it, but they dissolve into it. The consciousness within such a person is able to travel down every single fractal line within the cosmos. Because there is no resistance within their vehicle, their consciousness ripples down the fractal arms of both the past and the future of the universe. The secret to this is silence. Such a being has to fall into complete silence in order to hear the movement of every cell within the great hive of being. However, this 44th city is about far more than just understanding the secrets of human destiny and the fractal patterns of time. To awaken through the 44th city presupposes that you occupy what is known as a core fractal. If you were able to follow all human patterns back to their source at the Big Bang, you would arrive at what are called the three source codes. When the Big Bang exploded, consciousness was seeded into matter in a basic trinary pattern. In other words, the compressed energy exploded into three primary fractal lines or arms, known as the three source codes. This trinary fractal branching throughout the universe is well known in modern chaos theory. These three octopus-like arms began to spiral outwards in ever more complex fractal patterns and gradually coalesced to form the rudiments of our material universe. Every human being alive today has within them a fractal shard belonging or resonating to one of these three original codes. This original trinary pattern, or trinity, over time has become the foundation of almost all the major world religions and mystical systems. Every computer program has what is termed a source code. The source code refers to a hidden code written by the program that allows access to the main programming matrix. The only way that you can influence the original program is if you have access to this code. In the case of our universe, there are three source codes, and the 44th city allows access to any one of them. Moreover, written into the master program of the overall fractal pattern of our universe are specific points in what we call human history that the program will mutate. In other words, it has a built-in design to evolve beyond itself. If we consider once again the synarchy of the bees, we see the existence of a kind of hierarchy, but one that is circular rather than linear. No one in a synarchy is above anyone else. because at all times there is an awareness of the group's inherent oneness. Each unit has a perfect fit in the overall geometry, and if there is no resistance through the individual forms, the totality can function as one. Within this vast tapestry are centers of force known as core fractals. Core fractals are what we term enlightened beings or masters. Every time a human core fractal is awakened, the entire arm of that fractal slowly begins to awaken. Thus it is said that certain beings or avatars come to Earth to take on the sins of the masses. This refers to the awakening of core fractals and the domino effect through their ancestral genetic chain. The being expressing the 44th Siddhi therefore occupies a specific genetic vehicle whose mutation causes, in time, a chain reaction through humanity. If you reduce this down to its essentials, there is actually no glamour in the Sanaki. The awakening of a core human fractal simply represents the activation of a previously dormant code within the overall program. As the core fractal is activated, it removes the virus that is wound around its genetic lineage, the virus that represents the shadow frequency. The awakening of a core fractal essentially involves the death of the illusion of its individuality. The moment it gives up its independence, it becomes a clear conduit for consciousness to continue along its lineage. There are a finite number of core fractals, 144,000 to be precise, which is why this number has long been associated with a secret society of beings whose role is to awaken the planet. One final revelation concerning the Sanaki is that it has existed since the dawn of time. It is simply distorted by an interference pattern that has also always been there from the beginning. This distortion, or sacred wound, is literally wound around the arms of every single fractal line. It is the reason for human suffering, but it is also the reason for what we call evolution. As the universe awakens, the interference is gradually cleared, and the Sanaki that lies beneath emerges. Interestingly enough, humanity has always sensed the existence of the Sanaki. It lies in all our myths of a past golden age or a future paradise or heaven on earth. It is written into our destiny to realize the Sanakic nature of our species, although the greatest irony of all is that by the time it arrives, we as individuals will all have disappeared. 45th Gene Key, Cosmic Communion. Programming Partner, 26th Gene Key. Codon Ring, The Ring of the Prosperity, 1645. Physiology, Thyroid. Amino Acid, Cysteine. The 45th Shadow, Dominance, The House of Dominoes. When you look into the core reason for the major problems on this planet, you will find that they all center around a single issue, food. Because human beings have to eat in order to survive, food is symbolic of real power. Everything else springs from this single fact. In today's modern world, food is symbolized by money. As long as you have enough money, you can survive. However, if you were immediately transported to the wilderness of northern Alaska, your money would mean nothing, which shows that money is really only a veneer placed across a deeper issue. Whoever controls the food resources has the power. The old Chinese name for this 45th hexagram in the I Ching is Gathering Together, which, like all these ancient names, contains many levels of wisdom. Very early in evolution, humans discovered that in staying together, they greatly increased their chances of survival. When hunters worked together in teams, they had a better chance of making a kill. It was out of this gathering together around food that our entire civilization was born. One of the earliest phases of human evolution was the hunter-gatherer. These early people were purely nomadic, moving from place to place, gathering and foraging for food, as well as killing wild animals as they went. An evolutionary leap was made as early humans discovered that by staying in one place, cultivating crops and domesticating animals, survival was even more ensured. This move to a more efficient agrarian lifestyle, based on the control of territory as a means of controlling the production and distribution of food, was the crucible of our modern societies and nations. Along with this change came another human development, that of civilized hierarchy. As tribal groupings multiplied, natural hierarchies developed, either around a network of elders or around a single alpha leader. In a hierarchical society, individual members were no longer equals. Power was distributed according to other needs, such as skills and usefulness, or was inherited through patrimony. This basic model of hierarchy is still in place today, although in the West, food and territory have been replaced by money and wealth. The 45th shadow of dominance lies at the heart of this whole evolutionary tendency to operate out of hierarchies. It is the way in which our brain is programmed, even though it is now showing itself to be hugely out of date. The fact is that our modern technologies and infrastructure would allow us to live in a world without hierarchy. That is our utopian dream. However, human DNA has not yet been updated, so the old fear-based thinking still prevails. We remain victims of the shadow of dominance because we still live for ourselves rather than for each other. Survival is limited to the immediate or extended family, if there is one. As we can learn from the seventh gene key, humanity actually has a predisposition to create hierarchy, because some of us are genetically programmed to become leaders and be recognized as such by others. This is the basis of the concept of the alpha male in the animal kingdom. However, this isolation into blood families is the very boundary that human beings will have to break through if a new mode of thinking and living is to emerge into the world. Even in modern-day business, with all its emphasis on teamwork and corporate culture, your primary commitment is to feeding yourself and your family. Tribal thinking still dominates over collective thinking, and family loyalties far outweigh corporate commitment. This is where the fear lies, within the 45th shadow. This shadow does not allow human beings to transcend family blood ties. Our loyalty is primarily confined to our immediate family. Naturally, this is not always the case, as a global mutation is currently underway and is opening up our awareness to new paradigms beyond that of family loyalties. In the West, especially, we are witnessing the gradual demise of the traditional family model with its built-in patriarchal hierarchy. For many people, this is a very frightening time since the family model of living has been the norm for so many generations. The human need to find a place of security in the hierarchical chain is based upon dominance. That is to say, you always have to push someone else down in order that you can rise up. It is a fear-based system focused upon the oppression and dishonoring of other human beings. This is also the essence of the modern-day business model, even though the majority of those who work in business participate in this model unconsciously. The programming partner to the 45th shadow is the 26th shadow of pride. Those who enjoy feeling important do not wish to give up the illusion of their authority. The system we have created keeps us working within the hierarchy because the hierarchy feeds us. You have to pay taxes and mortgages as well as work for the system. It is important to understand that no individuals are to blame, not even those few multi-billionaires who appear to run the world through the big multinational corporations. Neither are the politicians to blame, as we would like to think. It is our genes that are really to blame, because it is out of our most ancient fear of not having enough that we have created this whole civilization. Every single human being is an unconscious participant in the world we see around us. No one escapes the hierarchy, unless they decide to reverse evolution and go right back to their hunter-gatherer roots. Where, then, do we go from here? We live during an uncomfortable transitionary era, as the old family-based tribal system is beginning to crumble around our ears and the old values cease to have power or meaning, we are left with a feeling of profound social instability. At the same time, the ancestral urge to dominate persists and has found a whole new arena, global finance. Now our hierarchical struggle revolves around money. Everything, health, education, food, and government, is all based around money, and there is nothing we can do about it. This does not mean to say that we cannot bring about a revolution and improve the way the old system works. This is precisely what is happening now and what is needed. However, ultimately, any system that has been built on a foundation of fear will, by its very nature, crumble. We are living in a house of cards. The awareness that is rapidly coming to human beings will eventually outgrow the need for any system devised by the human brain. By the time that happens, all concept of hierarchy will have long since dissolved. Repressive nature, timid. The repressive side of the 45th shadow is made up of all those people who bow their heads to authority. These people allow their spirits to be dominated by those higher than themselves within the hierarchy. Such timidity compromises its freedom for the sake of not rocking the boat. Since it is rooted in an unconscious fear, this nature accepts that no good could ever come from resisting or challenging someone in a higher position. Unfortunately, the majority of humankind falls into this category, even if at an unconscious level. Most of us are willing participators in the global chess game in which the individual spirit is easily manipulated by those at the head of the hierarchy. Reactive nature, pompous. Rather than bowing its head to authority, the reactive side of this shadow enters the fray by becoming obsessed with climbing up in the hierarchy and therefore has to push others down in their urge to reach a high position. These are pompous people who then assume positions of power over others and make sure that they remain timid in order to maintain control. Both sides of the 45th shadow are, therefore, caught in the game of hierarchy, one as a victim and the other as the victimizer. The only real way to escape the entire game of hierarchy is to take a stand against the system itself, but not one that is rooted in reaction or anger. To break out of either reactive or repressive natures requires that one take a great risk and break the pattern of one's interaction within family, business, government, and society. One has to stand alone as a living model of a new kind of system in which individual spirit is respected above all else. The 45th gift, synergy. From hierarchy to heterarchy. Beyond hierarchy lies a far more expansive concept. It is known as heterarchy. Heterarchy is a level of self-organization that already exists, to an extent, within many hierarchies. Whereas hierarchy demands a flow of information that is essentially vertical, heterarchy distributes information horizontally. In a hierarchy, the flow of authority and information is always dependent on the permission or approval of someone above. In a heterarchy, however, responsibility and decision-making is distributed equally throughout the system. The flow of information processed through a heterarchical system is more effective than in a hierarchy. It has often been compared to the way in which neuron connections operate within the human brain. Heterarchy is based upon synergy, the 45th gift. Unlike hierarchy, it recognizes the need for both individual and group empowerment, so it operates at a far higher frequency than the hierarchical model. In the business world, more emphasis is being placed on the heterarchical model, even though it is still utilized within the existing hierarchical one. An example might be a whole department of a business that operates with very little interference from those above and shows itself extremely capable and responsible. The 45th gift of synergy requires a leap of faith, out of fear-based thinking and control by a single person. It is in many ways akin to the ideal at the core of democracy, that decision-making should and must be collective. More than this, in the business world, synergy and heterarchy want to take us much further, into networks where businesses that previously competed now dovetail and cross-pollinate each other, thus moving more energy throughout the whole system. This leap out of the old fear-based territorial thinking also means that in a heterarchical model business, clients and customers are shared between the various businesses that make up the network. However, what this also means is that those who hold positions of power and authority have to risk giving their authority away. For someone in a position of true power to give complete authority to another is to perform an act of pure alchemy. This is what the 45th gift is all about. When such sacrifice and empowerment is made to the right group, the rewards can be phenomenal. Even though initially a business may appear to lose money by interfacing in this way with other businesses, the amount of synergy and goodwill that moves through the human network increases exponentially. Rather than being guided from above, this new kind of business is allowed to discover its own self-organizing intelligence. The 45th gift is interested in the long term, so it is this fractal energy of goodwill that has the real power, not profitability itself. The goodwill generated reaches outwards in ever-increasing spirals that impact on the world through synchronicity and word of mouth. The result is that more and more people become interested in the business or its products. The bottom line of the 45th gift is that in the long term, it is more efficient to move together in synergy rather than waste energy in competition. The 45th gift will have its main influence on the modern financial world since its roots are in the overall control and distribution of food and resources. Once the coming change in human awareness takes root in us, the whole nature of modern finance can change to serve the collective rather than the individual. It is through the 45th gift that world poverty and hunger will finally come to an end. The 45th gene key and the 16th gene key, whose gift is versatility, form the ring of prosperity, a high-frequency means of generating vast abundance across gene pools. What these two gene keys point to is that the more we diversify our resources and unite them, the more successful and efficient we will become. In the current hierarchical approach to business, networking still mostly manifests through one business buying another business and integrating it into the existing hierarchy, thus maintaining control. Once again, it is only through the selfless and unconditional giving away of responsibility and authority that true power begins to travel through a network or organization. You have to gather together the people who you trust, and then you have to give them their freedom to pursue their gifts without interference. The 45th gift is also deeply concerned with education. In order for world poverty to come to an end, people must be self-empowered rather than rescued. This means that they must be educated in how to become self-sufficient at all levels. They have to use the technology that enables them to provide for themselves. In terms of global energy, the same truth also applies. We have to learn to harness the 16th gift of versatility in order to draw energy from a wide array of resources, rather than drawing all the water from a single well, for example, fossil fuels. Synergy entails sharing world resources rather than the trading of those resources. At a subtle level, most trade is based upon fear. As the energy of goodwill and sovereignty is released through the 45th gift, the whole purpose of money will gradually begin to change. The key influence of the 45th gift will manifest through the family. In the West, we can already see the breakdown of the traditional family unit. In fact, it is not family values that will decline, but family politics. The idea of the family business will be pivotal in this respect, but in a new and different way. In our current world model, family and business are directly at odds. Business today tends to divide the nuclear family because one or both partners have to leave the children at too early an age, either in care or at school. In the future, business will consider one of its greatest responsibilities to be the custodianship of healthy families. As seen and instigated through the 45th gift, future business will involve not so much a family business, but a family of businesses networked together. In this way, different clans and fractals of human beings will be united around a heterarchical business model. This could also provide a networked educational and support base for parents and children to draw from, rather than having to send children out to institutions that both alienate and homogenize them. Children can thus cross-pollinate with other families through play and, as they grow, through mentoring in a wide array of creative business possibilities. In this way, education, finance, and family support all begin to come together in a single unified network. These are just some of the startling insights and breakthroughs that are possible through the rising frequency of the 45th gift of synergy. Synergy involves an entirely new way of thinking that is so alien to our current culture that at present it is challenging for the mass consciousness to even conceive of. The 45th Siddhi, Communion, the End of Money. Since we began in the 45th shadow with the prime issue of food, we will end by viewing the same issue at its highest frequency. The traditional notion of communion is rooted in the Christian rite of sharing bread and wine in memory of Christ's Last Supper. There is a great mystery concerning the true meaning of communion. Ultimately, Christ's actions during the Last Supper are deeply symbolic of the great revelation contained within the 45th Siddhi. On one level, the bread represents money, and the wine represents the unification of all human beings through DNA, our blood. The drinking of the wine symbolically activates the ecstatic levels of human awareness and the transcendence of your individuality. These two themes, blood and money, are the core of the symbolism enacted in the Holy Communion. At the Siddhic level of frequency, humans will recognize their oneness on the material plane through the transcendence of money. Human beings are the true currency, and money is our prime means of interaction, as it directly reflects our frequency. If you act from a frequency rooted in fear, you will always try to maintain control of life through money. However, money also offers each of us the opportunity to test universal law. If you trust in the energy of goodwill above all else, then you will alter the way in which money moves in and out of your life. When Christ spoke the words, "This is my body," he was speaking from a collective level. Humanity is a collective body that is united through its bloodlines in a common ancestry. From the level of the 45th city, we are each other's food. Money is the key to the enactment of this revelation. We have already seen how, at the gift level of frequency, the redistribution of money through the world economy must alter to serve a higher purpose. This manifests through the new heterarchical model based on group synergy. However, at the civic level, communion entails the end of money altogether, because it represents humanity's original and completed consciousness. We have seen that most trade is based on a subtle fear and is rooted in a version of conditional giving. Unconditional giving negates the need for money altogether. In the 45th city, all the various strands of human DNA finally come together. It is the cosmic gathering point for higher consciousness. It is also the place where the individual, the family, and the collective merge. The way in which this merging occurs is through the ultimate model of human and divine organization, the synarchy. In the human genetic matrix, there are many wormholes that interconnect the various gene keys in different ways. There are magnetic bridges and polarities, as well as chemical codon links. Here we can see a sequential link between the gene keys as they are laid out in the original Chinese I Ching. There are profound archetypal links between gene keys that lie next to other gene keys. In this example, we can see a strong connection between the 44th and 45th gene keys. These archetypal links were originally told in story form as one learned the meaning of the different hexagrams in the I Ching. In this case, we can see how synarchy, the 44th city, forms a bond with communion, the 45th city. We can further see how the 46th city of ecstasy, next in the sequence, recalls the exalted state engendered by the symbol of the sacred wine. In the journey of consciousness through this 45th gene key, we have seen hierarchy give way to heterarchy, and now we see their fusion and transcendence manifested through synarchy. Synarchy, as outlined and described in the 45th city, is the underlying divine formation of human consciousness when free from identification. The problem with heterarchy as a model on its own is that without a common point of focus, it may create synergy between all aspects within a certain system, but it won't see beyond its own system. Heterarchy and hierarchy, when fused together, are transcended in synarchy. In a beautiful twist, hierarchy is actually the unfulfilled organizing principle that leads to synarchy. In other words, when humanity has attained the mystical state of communion, it discovers that it is organized into a vast fractal pattern of human geometries, arranged in myriad dovetailing human wheels and branches. This is the synarchy, and one must understand that it is indeed a challenging concept to describe in words. Synarchy is the overall pattern of humanity operating as one consciousness. It is the mechanics of the mystical state of communion. Just as the communion of Christ is represented by a group of 12 with a mystical 13th at its center, so the synarchy of all human beings is built out of many such fractal families. Each of these 12 beings then has their own inner circle, and so the fractal goes on. Each being occupying a pivotal or hub position in the synarchy is thus an agent of communion, since their actions, words, deeds, and visions flow directly out into humanity, in essence building the synarchy. Christ himself is the divine example of a hub fractal, a conduit of goodwill who sacrifices himself for the sake of the greater community. As each of us follows this example, we taste the greater body of humanity and enact the mystery of sacred communion in our lives. The leaders in a synarchy are not leaders in the normal sense, because they are not made up of individuals, but small groupings of humans operating out of a single awareness. In many ways, synarchy can be likened to the interlinked network of neurons and synapses in the human brain. This is precisely what is happening to humanity right now, as the frequencies moving through the 45th gene key come more and more into play. We are discovering higher and higher levels of self-organization. The great cosmic joke, however, is that we are discovering these patterns rather than consciously creating them. In other words, synarchy already exists as a blueprint hidden within hierarchy, the 45th shadow. As fear leaves the human genome, we will discover that we are already arranged into a synarchy. It is a gradual process of discovery, however, limited by our time-processing brains. For those at the psychic level of consciousness, time no longer exists. Through the eyes of the Christ consciousness, the kingdom of heaven is all around us at all times. In the extensive transmission of the 22nd gene key, there exists in outline form the bones of a future mystery school designed specifically for the synarchy. At the core of this lies a secret teaching known as the 9 portals of planetary initiation. These initiations follow the passage of human consciousness as it evolves through and beyond its current genetic form. Within this system, the initiation representing the absolute zenith of human consciousness is the 6th initiation of communion. In the words of the 22nd Siddhi, the initiation of communion also shares its name with the 45th Siddhi, which describes the great mystery of the taking of the sacred sacrament. Communion involves the direct imbibing of divine consciousness at the altar. In entering into this field of frequency, you are transcending all sense of being separate from others. This is symbolized by the blood of Christ and the final breaking up of the karmic residues held in your DNA. For the grace of Christ to enter you, you must be willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, to give up your lower bodies and their desires, feelings, memories, dreams, and knowledge, and to be taken over by a greater being who has all along been waiting within you. To enter through this great initiation is to die into the second aspect of the sacred Trinity, the Christ. In the far distant future, at least from the viewpoint of our current awareness, the 45th Siddhi will flower throughout humanity. Not only will this bring an end to money, but it will slowly bring an end to food. As our collective frequency mutates our biological bodies, so the body of humanity will evolve to live on the frequencies of light. This is outlined in the 6th and 47th Siddhis and is programmed into the future of humanity through the codon ring known as the Ring of Alchemy. The mutation of our biology actually heralds the end of humanity as we know it, as we become synthesized into an even greater communion within the cosmos as a whole. 46th Gene Key. A Science of Luck. Programming Partner, 25th Gene Key. Codon Ring, the Ring of Matter. 18, 46, 48, 57. Physiology, blood. Amino acid, alanine. The 46th Shadow, Seriousness, the Rainmaker. Sometimes the best way to describe something is through a story. In fact, this isn't so much a story as a description of an ancient archetype. It centers on a rainmaker, a sorcerer whose unique gift is to influence local weather patterns and cause rainfall through magical means. In ancient times, and still in many places today, when a region was experiencing an extended drought, the locals would send for the rainmaker. In our story, the rainmaker is a little old man, and when he arrives in the village, he is offered anything he needs. After all, the future lives of the villagers and their families depend on his success. Without rain, the crops will not grow, and there will be nothing to eat. However, the rainmaker says that all he needs is a hut to sleep in and to be left alone for a few days. Knowing well that his every move is being watched by the curious villagers, the old man begins setting up his paraphernalia, whatever it may be, perhaps some strange-looking device or a series of offerings to the appropriate gods. Some rainmakers just disappear into their hut and wait, appearing to do absolutely nothing. After a few days, if the rainmaker is genuine, it will begin to rain. The villagers heap praise upon him and his magical powers. His reputation grows because wherever he goes, he appears to make it rain. However, despite his far-reaching fame, our rainmaker has a great secret known only to himself. He knows that in truth he has no special powers over the weather. His secret is that he has discovered his true purpose in life. He is a rainmaker, and wherever he goes, it happens to rain. He doesn't make it rain. He is simply attuned to places where it is about to rain. This is why he doesn't have to do anything other than show up wherever he feels like going. This simple story encapsulates all that is wonderful about the 46th Gene Key and also contains the quintessence of the true meaning of this whole work. Hidden inside your DNA lies your higher life purpose, and when you find that higher purpose, everything is laid out for you by the Spirit of Divine Grace. The shadow archetype of the 46th Gene Key is seriousness. Seriousness is the most widespread of all diseases on our planet and is a primary cause of much ill fortune. When you live your life from this shadow, you carry a black cloud above your head wherever you go. It always seems to rain when you don't want it to, because you are out of synchronization with the whole. You create obstacles for yourself when you become too focused either on the future or on the past. Seriousness is about worrying or expecting or wishing life to be other than it is right now. Seriousness takes you away from life and love and into issues of control and separation. The 46th Gene Key governs your relationship to your physical body. It is part of the codon group known as the Ring of Matter, which programs the developmental process of incarnation from the point of conception to the age of 21. Specifically, the 46th Gene Key relates to your first 7-year cycle, in which all your shadow patterns are hot-wired into your physical structure, your posture, your breathing patterns, and your relationship to the physical world through touch. It takes a child 7 years to fully incarnate on the physical plane. Certain genes are switched on, and other genes are switched off during this period. Thus, all the future patterns of your physical health are laid down in your early years. Regardless of your physical circumstances during this period, your future life is fashioned out of the frequency field of those around you and how they deal with life. The greatest gift anyone can give a child is a loving, tactile, and virtuous upbringing. This puts a huge responsibility on parents because it is the parents, custodians, or teachers who create the living aura into which the child incarnates. When the child learns through their physical aura that life is safe and loving, their body relaxes into its natural internal harmony. What many people don't realize is that it is the body that must feel safe, not the mind. Almost all human health problems can be traced back to this primary period of imprinting. If you have an ongoing health issue, then some point in your first 7 years, your body stops feeling safe, and somewhere inside your DNA, a gene or set of genes was either switched on or off. It is this early physiological wiring which feeds the 46th shadow of seriousness. When parents are unable to trust in themselves, they become too serious about life, and they transmit this frequency into the aura of the child. Just as the 46th siddhi allows you to enter into the field of ecstasy, so the 46th shadow demands that you live in the field of agony. At low frequencies, you live as though you were submerged in matter, unable to access the joys and beauties of the spirit. Living without knowledge or memory of the love of the higher planes means that you can only take life too seriously. There are even those who take the spiritual path too seriously, and no matter how impressive their achievements, you can see from their faces that they lack the true radiance that comes from living a lighter, more carefree life. As we have seen, the 46th shadow programs the way your body feels through the way your parents felt about their bodies. Unless your parents were firmly anchored in the spirit of self-love, they could not help but transfer their seriousness onto you as a child. Parenting at a low frequency always involves conditioning through control, whether conscious or unconscious. We want our children to be happy, but we do not know how to be happy ourselves. In fact, the freedom and spontaneity of our children is a constant reminder of the depth of our own conditioning and unhappiness. This is one reason why modern parents find it so hard to be parents. They have forgotten how to be happy deep within their bodies. In truth, they have forgotten how to play. The formula for a wonderful life is so simple. Tread lightly and don't worry so much. Life will take you where it wants you to go, but we humans tend to live in our minds rather than in each present moment, and our minds always live within time. We are genetically coded to be over-serious because of the pairing of the 46th shadow with the 25th shadow of constriction, whose repressive expression is ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss, as the saying goes. We only display ignorance when we are too serious about our lives. We do not trust life, but try to take conscious control of the events that happen to us. It is our ignorance of how easy life really is that prevents us from enjoying the fruits of the 46th gift, which, as we will learn, are manifold. Repressive nature, frigid. All repressive natures are in one sense or another frozen. Frigidity here is used not so much in the sexual sense, but in a much broader context to describe the freezing of one's sensuality. These people hide from life out of fear of their own bodies. If you do not like your body, your vital energy turns sour. Such people lose touch with the juiciness of life. You can see this reflected in their lifestyle, clothes, and particularly in their faces, which manifest their fear through a permanently pinched expression. When such people begin to enjoy the beauty of being in their body rather than worrying about what they look like, they release the inner warmth buried deep within, and their whole being begins to thaw. Reactive nature, frivolous. Frivolity is an overreaction to seriousness. These people pretend to really enjoy life, and from the outside they appear to take nothing seriously. However, if you scratch the surface of such a person, you will soon find that they are in fact highly emotionally reactive and harbor a huge amount of anger. This anger will explode sooner or later because these people have an investment in being seen as light-hearted, laid-back, and jovial. When the facade is broken, usually when someone is honest with them, they reveal how deadly seriously they actually take life. As a pattern, frivolousness runs away from the truth, and such people usually reflect this in their relationships, which are generally short-lived and numerous. The 46th gift, delight, the ring of no matter. To escape the low frequency of seriousness, it takes a single, simple quality. Acceptance. Acceptance, the 25th gift, is the programming partner of the 46th gift of delight. These two gifts grow out of each other. In order to accept something about yourself, you first have to come out of your ignorance and own it. Acceptance equals ownership, which leads to delight. Delight is a sense of freedom that emerges from an appreciation of the richness of being alive. This gift is about feeling alive within the realm of matter. It is funny that our English word for matter is tied into the expression, it matters or it doesn't matter, because this is exactly what the gift of delight is based on, an inherent understanding that nothing really matters except life and love. Therefore, at a higher frequency, the codon ring of matter might also be known as the ring of no matter. At higher frequencies, your attitude becomes much lighter as you go through life. No matter what your circumstances, you can accept and recognize them as being a part of grace. In other words, when you are being shown something in your life, once you have seen it and let it go, you have more energy available for being delighted. Understanding this gene key is pivotal to your understanding the core of the 64 gene keys themselves. You must approach this transmission lightly, allowing it to wheedle its magical way into the labyrinth of your DNA. If you take it less than seriously and remain open-hearted and open-minded, you may experience the delight for yourself as it spreads further and deeper into your life. Each of the 64 gifts represents a different kind of genius, and people with the 46th gift in their hologenetic profile move through the world incredibly smoothly. They seem to have a genius for being in the right place at the right time, and others often see them as lucky. However, very few people really understand what luck is. As with the Rainmaker in our earlier story, luck is what happens when you stop interfering with life. Luck is nature's way of telling you that you are in harmony with the whole. The 46th gift is also the gift of serendipity, of allowing good fortune to occur to you, and yet it can only happen when your attitude becomes lighter and less grasping. When you meet a person whose frequency has risen to the level of their gift, there is always something striking about them. In the case of the 46th gift, they have an unusual ability to let go of the past and surf the present moment. These are the kind of people who never have any worries in life, and this creates a tangible magnetic draw to them. They are mysteriously attractive on a deeply physical level, as though life itself is somehow more amplified within them. Above all, they are soft and sensuous. The energy of delight is rooted in a deep sensuousness that comes from being very comfortable in their bodies. This being comfortable has nothing whatsoever to do with how they look. They could be fat, thin, ugly, or beautiful. It comes from loving life more than anything else in the world. The 46th gene key also contains within it the germ of material success and failure. This much sought-after secret is founded upon the principle of synchronicity, the law that binds together all free-moving objects in space and time. By free-moving, what is meant here is self-accepting. When you move through life freely with an attitude of delight and openness, whatever happens is correct. Whether you can see why it is so in the moment is not important. Success is only clearly understood in hindsight. If your attitude remains open and accepting, you will see that the universe is at work in you. Say, for example, you train for half your life to win a gold medal at the Olympics, only to fall ill the day before you are due to compete. You fall in love with the nurse at the hospital, get married, and live happily ever after. The point is that if you hadn't missed your gold medal, you might not have seen the real purpose of your life. At the gift level, you will rethink all standard definitions of success and failure. Synchronicity is an energy field available to absolutely anyone, whether they have the 46th gene key in their profile or not. The only prerequisite for tapping into synchronicity is this delight. In other words, you must remain open to surprises, let go of where you want life to take you, and trust in a force beyond your control. Delight invokes grace.